Yeah, you know what you can get me, Pee-wee?
What?
El Hombre.
First of all, as a service to the listeners, this is an absolute forget about it.
El Hombre.
El Hombre is brought to you by LoanEstimateReview.com.
El Hombre.
He's a pariah. It's like going after raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens.
El Hombre.
Oh, we look forward to this every single week. Our conversations every Tuesday at 5 o'clock here with Bob, Dave, and Moore. We bring in the one, the only, El Hombre, Michael Bradley, with us on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline. Hello, Michael.
What's happening, fellas?
Good to talk to you, man. Good to talk to you.
I know.
You need to settle an on-air debate for us before we get into the real serious business of sports.
This is serious.
Yeah, best flavor of popsicle, would you, between cherry, grape, and orange?
Orange.
Oh, wow. Oh, he went off. Bob.
Oh, I said nobody likes orange.
I love orange.
Everybody used to take the orange ones out. They would always be the ones that were left in the freezer. Everybody ate the
orange. You know who else doesn't like orange?
Orange was seen as like commonplace. Like you can get orange anywhere. It just wasn't.
Do you know who else doesn't like orange popsicles?
Who?
Kim Jong-un.
Really?
Wow. No. What I'm saying, first of all, the cherry ones, it's like medicine. So you throw them out immediately.
Medicine.
The grape's never grape enough. And plus your teeth, you too much red. The grape is never grape enough. The orange is perfect. And as it starts to melt, it gets oranger. It's tremendous.
Oranger. You know what? You're right about the red tasting like medicine. Because remember NyQuil? It kind of tastes like cherry.
When you're a
NyQuil.
Kid, you always had cherry cough syrup.
Yeah.
Cherry cough syrup. We had this stuff called Naldecon, which was a cold medicine. That tasted okay. Then we had this stuff called Phrenergan with codeine to try to have an orange taste. It was nasty. And then when we got a stomach ache, we got this stuff called Donatol, which was green. You're sick already to the stomach, and your mother's giving you this green stuff. No shot.
Well, I put the codeine. That sounds like you were making purple drink.
He was there before that would became fashionable.
We didn't mess around back in the old 215.
Yeah, when Michael was growing up in the ghetto, that's how they did it out there. You know, so.
Yeah, right. So, the mean streets of Green Hill Farm.
That's right. By the way, I put the poll question out there for you at Bob Stelton and at Bob David Moore on Twitter, so you can answer the poll question. It's very imperative we get to the bottom of this. Hey, did you watch any of the XFL over the weekend?
I did. I've decided that my team is the Houston Roughnecks because they've got the old oil derrick symbol on their helmets, and I love the old Oilers uniforms. I watched it. You know, when you watch the Alliance of American Football, you knew you were watching bad football. Now, I'm not saying this was great stuff, and the fact that Landry Jones didn't play for the Dallas team means that the Renegades, you know, if that's the guy you're hanging your entire future on, you know, you're not going to be a very good team to begin with. But I thought the football was actually representative. As I watched it, I thought I was watching a level of professional football, not just a bunch of guys running around.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I really, you're looking at it's like some of the other thing you have to remember is I think all these teams scrimmage together. Maura would know because she's a sideline reporter for them.
For the Dragons.
Yeah, for the Dragons. But these guys hadn't played a lot together. And also, I was saying earlier that the D.C. coach, Pep Livingston, he came out and threw this wacky formation out there on the very first play. I'm thinking the opposing D coordinator probably didn't appreciate that too much. But, I mean, these guys didn't have a lot of practice, and I still thought it turned out to be really good football. Well, not really good, but, I mean, it'll get there. The quarterback play will get there. And also, the other thing, Michael, is there's some drama because you got Winston Moss acting like a crazy man. I don't know if you saw him firing people right and left.
Yeah, he already got rid of his defensive coordinator, didn't he?
Yeah.
And his captain and another coach.
The other thing about it was it did not look like a sideshow.
Yeah.
All right, I think, you know, there's some new stuff. That kickoff, I got to decide. I don't think there's ever going to be a kickoff return that goes past the 25.
Yeah.
And that may not be the worst thing in the world. But I think that it looked, rather than the first time when it was pro wrestling with helmets and pads, this was more of a football game, and the way it was presented looked professional.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
Sense.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't, I'm getting used to some of the things. Bob and I are, I think, in the minority on this. We both did not like the kickoffs because it's just very unimaginative. There's 10 guys lined up across 10, you know, from 10 guys. They're 5 yards apart. I feel like if you put somebody back, you could have reverses or get a little bit more action on that play. But, yeah, other than that, I thought, yeah, it didn't look amateurish or anything like that. I thought it looked good. It's good football.
Yeah. And, I mean, let's face it. This is the first week. Here's the problem with having an eight-team league. Some team's going to come out of the gate like 0-6. So immediately its fans are going to just disappear. And so that's a problem because you can't you got to have some parity. You can have some good teams, but you can't have really rotten teams. And that could really hurt it. You know, you tune into a game week 9 and you've got a 2-6 team playing a 1-7 team in front of 150 people. That doesn't help the credibility of the league.
What'd you think of the point after where you can go for 1 or 2 or 3? Do you like
that? I love it. I think that's a great idea. You know, because let's face it, you know, if you're going to go for 2, my friend had a great thought when the 3-point line came in. If you're going to put a 3-point line in, put a 4-point line in.
I agree.
Put a 5-point line in, and a shot from the other side of half court is 6. So you want to try to get 10 yards on an extra point? Nope, you get 3 points. You deserve 3 points. So I'm fine with it.
You know, not a single coach went for a 3. All 4 games,
well,
not a single coach.
It's early in the year, so we'll see. And you know, if you get a big lead, say you're up 6. Say you're up 5 and you get a chance to go up 3. You know, take the 3-pointer and, you know, it's not a bad way to do things.
Well,
so,
I'm sorry, Michael. Go ahead.
You could definitely make that happen. I think it's going to happen.
Well, I was going to ask it. Did the opportunity present itself? I mean, I you may not have had a situation.
Yeah, your team scored touchdowns, so yes, the opportunity did present itself.
Strategy wise, was there a team that was down by 3 where
Zorn said that at the end of the game, if they hadn't fumbled, I think that he was considering going for 3 because of where they were at.
Gotcha.
And it's 10 yards is not easy to get. So I wouldn't do it.
Jim would do it every play.
Jim doesn't understand.
I do it every single time. They were 4 for 11 on 1-point tries, 3 for 8 on 2-point tries, 0 for 0 because there's a bunch of cowardly coaches in the XFL that should have gone for it and had a wild hair, and they didn't.
Well, that's you, Mr. Vegas. What are you going to do? You're rolling the dice, baby. I like it.
He's a gunslinger.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is. He's like John Candy character in Stripes.
Yeah.
Right. I'd bet it all, but that's
me.
I'm
yeah, that's me. Right.
That's
yeah.
right. That's
well, John or Jim would also be a fired coach is what he would be.
Check out John Candy and volunteer sometime, Michael.
Okay.
Yeah. Why? Because he's wearing a Washington State Cougar shirt or something?
Yeah, he's singing the Cougar Fight song. Tom Hanks is in it. Yeah, it's a great movie.
Oh, boy.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's a whole star.
What do you think it's going to take to sustain this league, though? Because they're not obviously built on superstars. When you're talking about Landry Jones being the face of the league, as an article implied. And then you figure if anybody does really pop and becomes a dominant player, that they'll be signed to an NFL team, thus leaving the league. So what sustains this league? What makes it different than the AAF or the first incarnation of the XFL?
Cash. They're going to need a lot of money. This is a situation where you're going to have to, for a year, maybe two, commit to losing a lot of money. Because, you know, even in the places where the teams were more popular, you did not have good, attendance. So you're not going to get 30,000 people. You're not going to get 40,000 people at first. You're going to have to continue to sustain the cash influx from the outside, because I know the TV networks aren't paying a lot. They've got good deals. ESPN and Fox help, but this is going to take cash, and they're going to have to lose a lot of money for a long time.
All right, last XFL question for me anyway. What do you think?
For like the whole year?
No, just this week. We'll be talking about next week. I thought it was funny that the coaches were hiding their lips so nobody could read them. Meanwhile, you're broadcasting it nationally. But you know, what about some of the interviews and stuff like that? I had a few friends that say they thought it made it seem kind of amateurish. You know, and it seems like they maybe need to get into a rhythm with that. Like, when do you talk to the guys? When don't you? But did you like that access?
No, I don't like that. I don't want to see the players getting interviewed during the games.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it seem like it's a Sunday afternoon semi-pro game. Okay? And as Paul Crew, Wrecking Crew, in the original Longest Yard says...
The only Longest Yard. You don't acknowledge the other one.
Thank you. I think semi-pro is a joke. So that's you know, I don't like that. I don't like you sitting on the bench in a bolo tie talking to the dude who just scored the touchdown. All right? You know, get on with the game.
There was a bolo tie sighting.
Yeah, it was Pat McAfee.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's
no bolo ties.
It's pretty cool. It was a snake's head.
What you don't like Pat McAfee though? I get a kick out of him.
I do, but it's almost as if it's not organic. You know, he's like Bill Walton is just plain nuts, right? McAfee seems like he's trying a little too hard. I do like him a lot of the time, but sometimes it's too much.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, El Hombre. What if he was a linebacker? What if he's a former linebacker? What if he wasn't a punter? Would that change?
No, it has nothing to do with that. Stop it.
Come on.
I don't care what anybody played. What did Pat Summerall play? He was a kicker. All right? So, I mean, let's
Oh, I wish you hadn't told me that.
You didn't know that?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, he was. I mean, I don't care what the person played. It's just the personality's a little too much sometimes. I'm not. What am I, a puntist? Come on.
An anti-dentite? A puntist.
Hey, you're a raging anti-dentite.
Hey, Michael, I was listening to the John Clayton show here on 710 ESPN Seattle this morning, and one of the listeners texted in and asked a question about Nelson Agholor. He's a free agent, wondering if the Seahawks would be interested. You've watched him. What do you think? Should they be interested?
No, he's no good. He's first of all he's a little delicate flower, and if any coach ever says anything mean and nasty to him, that's that. Second of all, he drops the ball, and third of all, he doesn't run great routes. But other than that, you know what he sounds like? He sounds like a perfect Cleveland Brown.
He should make Baker Mayfield really happy,
or a Phoenix Cardinal.
But he's part of the greatest soundbite ever. A man. Saving people from a fire and has a reason to invoke his name. It's perfect.
He's catching babies. We didn't drop him. We're not like Agholor. That's one of the best lines ever. I mean, that's just, if you ever want to point to what a Philadelphia fan is, there it is. He's being interviewed after saving lives, and he can get a shot in at a member of the Eagles organically, perfectly done, not forced. He didn't try didn't have to do too much. Just slid it right in there. It was beautiful.
Hey, this baseball story surrounding the Astros is just going to drip, drip, drip. There's going to be another comment by a former player and another comment. Now we're seeing a lawsuit from a guy that pitched for the Blue Jays, I believe, and it was the last time he was out there. He got lit up by the Astros, and now he's filing a lawsuit against them for unfair practices. He had a Marwin Gonzalez coming out. Yeah, you know, I regret that this is how it went, but I mean. What needs to happen here? I mean, this feels like it's just going to be death by a thousand pinpricks. You know what I mean? That it's just going to continue and continue.
Two words. Play ball. Once the season begins and we've got something to talk about other than the fact that the Astros are awful cheaters, then this will go away. Now, there will be, you know, I swear to you, I wish that they were coming to Philadelphia. I would, and I said this before, I'd sit in the stands with a trash can and just beat it the whole game. So once the games really start, that's when this stuff will stop. But it's Major League Baseball's fault for cutting a quick deal with the Astros by giving the players immunity in order for them to tell what really happened, so they thought they could clean it up quickly. So nothing can be done that easily, and there's always going to be some sort of residual damage, especially in this land of social media and our litigious society.
What did you think of Hank Aaron's response? He kind of went El Hombre, where you're very cut and dried about the steroid era and how you view players that played in that era. He was of the mind that anybody that was on that roster during this time should be banned for life from baseball.
Think about when he played, right? He had Bob Gibson throwing at his head. He had Juan Marichal throwing at his head. He had anybody who played, who was a pitcher. They didn't put up with any nonsense. All right? You want to do something that's outside the code? We're going to hit you in the head. We don't care if you're Hank Aaron. We don't care if you're the greatest home run hitter of all time, non-steroid division. We're going to knock you off the plate. We're going to slide high at second base with our spikes, metal spikes sharpened. So for him to sit here and find out, wait a second, you're telling me that they had buzzers and trash cans being beaten and signals from the outfield and all that stuff? Cheating like that? Yeah, I'm glad Hank Aaron went. If anybody can go all El Hombre on it, it's Hank Aaron. I give him full permission.
Well, and I don't think that there's any example in sports that where the cheating, the cheating, the result of it is as, you know, effective. I mean, it's just been, it's terrible. And we may have asked you about this last week, but what do you think about as far as when these guys, you know, Hall of Fame time comes up? How much is this going to stain careers down the road?
I think it's going to hurt them early on. This is, you know, what do we think? We're talking a season, maybe a season and a half.
Yeah.
It's not like the steroid era where you had guys for 10, 12, 14 years putting up giant numbers because they were juicing. So I think that there may be somebody saying, all right, you know, let's say Jose Altuve continues on and has 8 to 10 more great years. When it comes time for him to be eligible for voting, I think there's going to be people that are going to keep him out for a little while because he's, you know, he's got to serve his time in purgatory. The other thing you got to remember is there's a far higher tolerance for this stuff among younger fans than there is among the older guard. So as the older voters in the Hall of Fame situation are pushed away and retire and move on, and younger people come through, it'll be interesting to see how much latitude is given to the people that break the rules.
Michael, what do you think about the new playoff format that's being proposed in Major League Baseball? They're going to add two teams to each league, and they've got some funky system that they're going to do there where some of the teams get to pick who their opponents are. What do you think? You like it?
I don't mind adding the extra teams. Playoff baseball is about the only time I tune in to other games besides the World Champion Phillies. So I'm all for that. And I'm all for pennant races involving more teams. So think about it. You got 15 teams per league. You got seven playoff teams. You're going to head into September with 10 or 11 teams still alive, which is great for baseball because, let's face it, it chooses a champion at the time when everybody else is paying attention to football. So the more attention its teams can get for longer periods of time and the more markets that get into playoff baseball, the better. I'm not so sure about this reality show where you're going to pick your opponent, and I'll tell you why. I don't want to be a team picking my opponent. I don't want to be the first, so they're going to give the first team a bye, the division winner with the most wins a bye. Then the second most wins of the three division winners gets to choose from among the four, from among the three worst wild card teams. So I'm going to sit there and I'm going to say, we want to play the Pirates. And I'm going to look straight ahead at the wild card team, and there's some representative from the Pirates, maybe that stupid bird mascot of theirs. Now all of a sudden you've cheesed off the Pirates by basically saying, we think they're the worst team in all the playoffs. We want to play you, and they're going to say, you want us? Okay, here we go. I don't want to give them any more impetus.
He is El Hombre, Michael Bradley. You can follow him on Twitter, at Daily Hombre is where you can find him on Twitter. What's going on with Joel Embiid out there? I'm reading about him being booed, and then he's taken to social media, and Brett Brown is sort of, I'm not fazed. That's just who he is. What's the perception of him out there? What is your take on Embiid?
And last year, an NBA general manager told me Simmons and Embiid don't like each other. It's a Coke and Pepsi kind of thing. It's a Shaq and Penny kind of thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're two alpha guys who want to be, maybe not really alpha guys, because I don't think either of them has the huevos to be a true alpha guy, but they both think that they should be the man. Jimmy Butler's in Miami largely because he didn't want to be third fiddle behind those two knuckleheads. So the problem is those two don't get along so well. Second of all, Embiid doesn't stay in shape, and the team doesn't always play well, and he doesn't always play well. He went 1-for-10 in the first half of a game recently. The Sixers played in a row, Boston, Miami, and Milwaukee, and lost to all three of them. They're sixth in the Eastern Conference standings right now on pace to win 50 games when people thought they're going to win 60 and be the second or even first team seed in the conference. The fans are getting upset. And as we talk about this all the time, a lot of these athletes say, okay, you're going to boo me when I play badly? Well, I'm going to be petulant. I'm going to shush you. I'm going to tell you to shut, you know what, up. And then I'm going to say, now I want to go somewhere else. So send them to Minnesota, all right? Send them to Phoenix. Send them to Sacramento. Send them to one of those outposts and let them just eat his way out of the league.
All right, well, speaking of the Sixers, how's our Matisse Thybulle doing back there? They like him?
After a quick start, he's sort of cooled some. He's not getting the same minutes. They like him because he's a defensive guy, okay? They like him because he's able to hit some shots, but he's not getting a lot of time now. All of a sudden, Furkan Korkmaz, or whatever his name, is the darling off the bench. So he's been getting a lot of burn lately. They're trying to find a rotation that can be successful, and that's hard to do in the NBA when you don't have anybody who can shoot from the outside.
All right, we got the NBA All-Star Game, the festivities in Chicago this year. Should I take Team LeBron and lay the points, or Team Giannis and take the points? What do you think?
Yeah,
there?
Take boredom as a 3-point favorite over ennui, okay? The only reason to go to the All-Star Game is to buy the All-Star Game program and read my article about the 1988 All-Star Game in Chicago with the sidebar about the 73 game also in Chicago.
No way. Oh, man. We got to get a hold of that. Got to get a hold of it.
You got to get the commemorative program.
Yeah.
I talked to Dominique Wilkins, Isaiah Thomas, Alex English. I talked to Dave Cowens about the 73 game.
Dave Cowens, the big redhead.
Yeah. He wouldn't get off the phone.
Really?
Yeah. After I finished interviewing, he goes, "What else you want to talk about?"
Well,
it's like he doesn't have anything going on.
What would Dominique Wilkins be called? What would his nickname be now? Because he was the human highlight film back then. He can't be a film now. What would he be now, do you think? Human highlight.
Yeah, what would he be, the human TikTok feed or something? I don't know. When I played pickup ball, I had a game where I made a lot of great plays. My brother called me the human highlight film strip. There's some old technology for you.
By the way, you started something great here. The 509 just texted in that I'm an anti-puntite.
I'm raging anti-puntite.
Hey, before we let you go, we have to take issue with the way you exited the show last week. There seemed to be a...
I know, it was a fumble. It was a bad one. I'm sorry. I have to do a better job.
Well,
I don't know what happened.
Listen to how it
came
across.
Stop with the excuses.
Take a listen.
No, so long, suckers.
Uh-oh, he missed. He missed.
I got no excuse. There's no excuse. I took full responsibility.
He fumbled.
I said that was a bad one.
Oh,
I don't have a. This is not a big window here. This is. I got to hit this thing perfectly. It's not like I sit around at the office all day practicing.
Well,
did you at least laugh at yourself when that happened, though?
Oh yeah, I knew. I knew that I was going to catch some heck for it.
Well, you know, Jim was more taken aback than anybody because it's the favorite moment of your appearance every
Jim
week.
Almost yeah. cried.
Yeah,
I know. I feel bad. I let you down. But look, it's I'm about 20 for 21. That's pretty good.
Okay, it's time for a swish now. I want a swish from you this time.
Before we go, we haven't even mentioned the fact that your hockey team may be called the Seattle Kraken.
Oh yeah,
we don't even know. It's people
seriously.
It could be a rumor. We'll see if it's true. I mean, there are like 8 different possibilities out there, and somehow that.
Release.
That one got out there.
The Seattle Sockeyes or something?
Yeah,
there's that. I hate that one. I don't like that idea.
Is that true? They actually have one like that?
Yeah, there's like the Totems, the Sockeye, the Kraken. The
Metropolitans.
Emeralds.
Emeralds, is that one?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind the Metropolitans because that was the original name of the team.
Yeah. I kind of like that one, too.
That is that then you become the Mets.
How about the Needles?
Because that's what
the Needles.
Seriously. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, exactly. It's a family program, so I don't want to talk about all the possible mascots and everything from
yeah,
the Seattle.
Careful.
Teams, right?
Careful.
So, yeah, exactly. So I told you, I'm backing off that one. But, you can't be the Metropolitans because then you'll be the Mets, and nobody wants to be the Mets, especially not now. So you're in a tough spot because everybody's trying to regionalize it. There's no need. I mean, the Detroit Red Wings make some sense somewhat, because of the auto industry. The Philadelphia Flyers has nothing to do with that, right? The New York Rangers. Why are they the Rangers? I don't know. So I don't think you necessarily have to make it a something that is localized. Come up with a good nickname, okay?
If it's up to us, we will. But it's not really our call. So.
I'm aware.
We'll do what we can.
The thing that, and then have good uniforms.
Okay.
That's the last thing.
Okay.
Don't have crappy uniforms.
Put all those things on the list.
I'm on the edge of my seat here now. Don't screw it up.
Michael, right. We'll do it again. Again, follow him on Twitter, at Daily Ombre. We'll talk to you next week, Michael.
So long, suckers.
Oh! Is brought to you by LoanEstimateReview.com.
You can hear him.
He's
screwing
it again. He's like, 0 for 2.
I think I heard a dope.
There's going to be a curse word following that, too. That was gold.
That was great. All right.
Might have been worse than the last one.
Oh, but it was better, though. It was good. It was good that it went
I guess
way.
Now he's 20 for 22.
He just sent me a text. We'll see what he says about that one. I'm guessing he's a little embarrassed by that one. Says, I blew it again.
I thought he was going to say I did that on purpose.
Oh, that's so good. All right, coming up, we're down to number 5 on our Seahawks free agency preview. We've been taking a look at one Seahawks free agent every day. Coming up with the conclusion, they staying or are they going? Number 5 coming your way next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
You know what song this is, Jim?
It's The Clash.
Yeah, should I stay or should I go, Bob?
Good call, Jim. Look at you.
I think one of the texters suggested that we should play this.
That's why I was going to give them credit. Yeah. It was perfect for this segment because we're breaking down Seahawks free agents every single day. We started with a list of 10. There's more than that, but we picked the biggest 10 in each day. We've worked our way up 10 all the way up to number 1, whether they're going to stay, whether they're going to go. I think we've only had one.
Who do you think number 1 is going to be?
Clowney.
We might take a left turn there. You never know.
It's clowning.
I think we've only had one stay, haven't we? I think it was Al Woods.
Al Woods. And so let's break it down. Was Luke Wilson one of those?
He was a go.
Was a very sentimental.
Nico Thorpe.
Tough day for us.
Nico was out. I mean.
Yesterday, who was it? He was out, too.
George Fant.
He was out, too.
George Fant.
George Fant is out.
Well, we want George Fant to come back, but we think he's going to leave.
Yeah,
and then the tweet that he had today makes it seem even.
Cements that.
Well, and by the way, tomorrow we're going to have at 5 o'clock an ex-NFL offensive tackle, Big Ray Roberts. And
yeah.
He'll tell us if he thinks George Fant's a tackle in this league.
Well, he'll have an opinion on our number 5 guy, Jermaine Ifedi.
Yeah.
There might be more conversation about him than just about anybody because he's been a talking point his whole time here for good and bad reasons, right? He's had issues at times with holding and penalties that have been killers, and then he'll show you know, a period of time where he'll play really well, and you're like, okay, this guy can really be something, and then he'll take a step back. It's been kind of a frustrating few years. They didn't pick up his option. He is a free agent. I don't know what I'm trying to figure out what he commands on the open market. What is a Jermaine Ifedi who's really durable? I mean, he's out there. He's there every week.
That's a good point.
O-line problems are not unique to the Seahawks. That's throughout the entire league. So I think he does have value. He will get a starting opportunity somewhere. Do you pay to keep him here? And I don't know what that number is. I don't know. Is it $8 million, $9 million, $10
million? Yeah, well,
let's call it 9. Let's split the difference and just say average of 9 a year. Do you pay to keep him here? You sign him to a 3-year deal?
Boy, I just look at it. I'm looking 23 penalties the last 2 years. And then if I'm him, just from his perspective, I don't know if players look at it this way, but I would. When the Seahawks declined my 5th-year option, if I'm Jermaine Ifedi, that wouldn't have settled that well with me. Maybe it's just he just goes, oh, it's just a business. But you can see why the Seahawks did decline that, because they would have to pay him $10 million for 2020. So, yeah, I'm just torn on Ifedi. I'd almost flip a coin with him. I like the idea. He seemed pretty good to me, and at least he kept his job, or maybe it wasn't that anybody was pushing him that hard. I mean, you had some options. You had more depth along the offensive line, some tackle options this year, so I feel like Ifedi did an okay job, but do you want to pay him $8 or $9 million? I don't know if we can go that high with him.
It'll be interesting to see what he gets on the market. I think the thing that he lacks, and we'll ask Ray, and I think it's something you can work on. Honestly, I would tell him, get a jump rope, and he probably is already doing that, but it's his feet. I mean, he just needs to get better with his feet, but I thought he was pretty good this year. I didn't think it was anything terrible. The worst thing he did was try to peel that ball out of Russell's hands on the sack.
Well, that's right.
On Monday Night Football, because, you know, and Russ did not get credited for that sack, or I'm sorry, the fumble, because he took it away from him. But yeah, I don't know what he was thinking there. But no, he was pretty good this year. I feel like Solari has coached him up. The one thing I'm not seeing from him. Do you like that when I say they coached him up, Bob?
Yeah, that's your saying today. Coach him up.
It's a standard thing. You say, hey, this guy's doing this or that, and the head coach come in, well, coach him up.
It's just all-encompassing, another way of just saying fix him.
Get him ready. Get him fixed, yeah. So, you know, but the one thing I used to see from him in like 16, 17, maybe even a little bit in 18, where he would get super frustrated and he would lose control of his emotions. And I feel like he's really calmed down this year, and he's become a pro, much more of a professional. And that's part of it, man. Your emotions, you got to keep it under control. And I thought, you know, maybe he had some anger issues and things like that early on, but that seems to be in check. So I think that's a huge step.
How much do you put into the stability of the line? People talking about, you know, these guys need to develop that chemistry, and the O-line is about working in concert with each other. And if you have this disruption every year where you're plugging in new guys, you're really, you know, hampering your development. How much do you put into that? Is that a reason to keep a guy that's, you kind of like him, but you're not in love with him? You feel like you could find somebody equal to, maybe cheaper? Is it enough reason to keep Jermaine around, or anybody around for that matter?
Well, it just depends on the situation, but I think that does get a little bit over-exaggerated because, you know, somebody comes in, it's not that far away from what you play everywhere in the league, right? I mean, there's just going to be different terminology, and if you communicate well, I mean, look, it could be you have this chemistry with a guy for 3-4 years, but you bring in a new guy and he's a better communicator. And, you know, you're talking more and you understand exactly what he means. And, you know, I feel like Bobby and KJ, for example, have that where they're they can look at each other and kind of know what, you know, this situation, this is something we saw in film. This is something we did before. Remember that game back in, you know, Houston in 2013? I mean, they have that kind of thing going. And, you know, sometimes you can get that with a guy that's a good communicator. So I don't put too much into that. But, you know, you do see a lot of times where there's really good offensive line and you say, yeah, they've been together, but mostly it's the health part of it. And you mentioned it, Bob, and it's a great point. I mean, he missed 3 games his rookie year, and then in 2018 he missed 1 game. So he's been available, which has been great.
But so is that enough to keep him here? He's been available.
Depends on the money. I mean, it depends on what he wants. And he's the one I'm most curious. I hope he goes and hits the open market because I want to see what the rest of the NFL thinks about him.
I have no doubt he gets an offer elsewhere.
Well, if you're starting right tackle in the NFL.
Yeah, and they're going to look at a guy that's durable.
$8 million.
Is that the number? 9?
$8 to $10 million?
I would guess.
Yeah.
I don't think I like him at that number here. If they sign him for 3-4 years.
But then who do you throw in there?
I don't know. I don't know if they feel like they've got a guy on the roster, whether they feel like Jamarco Jones could be a tackle versus a guard. Posick, we hear about his flexibility. He can play anywhere. Phil Haynes could fill a guard spot. Maybe somebody else.
Still optimistic about Posick, though?
I can't figure out how they feel about him. I don't know if they feel like he's an answer or if he's just good depth. I'm not sure. But
maybe he finds his way, like, you know, he was one of those versatile guys, Posick. You know, maybe they move him out to tackle, and he ends up being, you know, that ends up being like Justin Britt.
Yeah.
You know, Britt going into that year and when they put him at center, I was like, okay, that's it for him.
That seemed like a pipe dream.
Well, seemed like a last-ditch effort. We got to find a way to make this work.
Yeah, it seemed like they wanted to cut him. You know, putting him at center, he was a tackle, and then, you know, that worked great. So,
final call, he stays or he goes?
I say he stays.
I'll go with stays.
I say he goes.
Play the music.
I think he goes. Unless he brings, you know, his demand in terms of finances is lower than we expect, I think he probably goes. All right. We break down the proposed MLB playoff changes. We'll get deeper into this. We've just touched on it so far. Could you guys see this actually working? Will it need more changes, more tweaks? We'll get into all of that. Coming up with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore here on 710 ESPN Seattle. A reminder that you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. You can just take us with you wherever you're at. Very, very convenient, very simple. It's powered by Dubin Law Group, and it's what all the kids are doing, all the cool kids anyway. So go ahead, download that app. It's right there for you. An update on our poll question, by the way. We've got just under 900 votes, 892 votes so far. And this is the popsicle debate that we had earlier in the show. And the question is, we need to settle an on-air debate we're having right now. The best flavor of popsicle is, I gave you cherry, grape, orange, or other.
I would have voted other for banana.
Oh, you'd have lost.
I know.
Are we talking about like the Otter Pops?
No, just I think the classic
popsicle. The old classic popsicle. They had the two sticks.
Yeah, the standard box that you would get back in the, when we were kids. Because those were the traditional flavors.
The only way I would like orange is if it had the ice cream inside of it. What's
that? Oh, creamsicles.
Creamsicles. Yeah, those are good. Those are good. But right now, cherry is winning 32.8%.
It's ridiculous.
Grape is in second at 28%. Orange, the flavor I said most people didn't like, 23.6%.
That's a pretty tight race.
And then other, 15.6%.
Yeah, see, there's a bunch of bananas in there.
I think some people did. They were commenting on it. A lot of comments on there. But you can vote. It's at Bob Stelton on Twitter. And you still got 23 hours left to vote. So if you need to mull it over, need to break out a pie chart, some notes before you come to your conclusion, help yourself. Meanwhile, the baseball playoffs, we touched on this with El Hombre, and we talked about it briefly at the beginning of the show, but Major League Baseball considering a move in which each league would have three division winners and four wild card teams making the postseason starting in 2022. So the best team in the league would receive a bye into the division series. The division winner with the second best record would select its wild card opponent from the three wild card winners not hosting a series. So let's just get crazy and say that was the Mariners. And they could look at those guys and say, well, they're the weakest touch right there. They're the softest touch. We'll take that team, who are the Astros. Let's pretend they're weak.
Yeah, but like Dave was saying, if you're that soft touch team and you're the first choice.
Yeah, but that's you're implying human nature somehow comes into play there. You're insulted, so you're going to play better.
You'd pitch harder. You'd run faster.
You're going to hit the ball
better,
further.
Hit harder. All those things. How
far does being disrespected or insulted go?
I think it only works for football.
Where you can actually physically.
Well, I mean, yeah, look, you're going to get more fired up. I don't know how much that is going to help you in baseball. But you could also, and like I said earlier, there's going to be people going, well, you know, we picked them because we wanted the better, you know, the best challenge or something, trying to spew that out and see if it makes sense. But
and then, by the way, the division winner with the worst record would then choose its opponent from the remaining two wild card teams. And then the final matchup would pit the wild card winner with the best record against the wild card team not yet chosen.
So, I always think when they add these, and I don't understand, first of all, why Trevor Bauer is so upset. He basically called Rob Manfred a joke.
Yeah.
Or he did
directly call him a joke.
Here's his audio for those that missed it. Trevor Bauer, not a fan of any of this.
Like, who put this out without thinking of the fact that the best team in the league is going to get a six-day layoff while we sort out this whole three games here and this wild card, and we're going to pick our opponent, and we're going to do this whole reality TV stuff. Meanwhile, the best team in baseball is sitting at home waiting for all this crap to transpire. God forbid someone's ace pitches 4 days before the end of the regular season and then has 10 days in between starts. Being on a routine is so important in baseball. We play for 6 months, and now you're going to say at the most critical time of the year that we're going to get 6 days in between games, and who knows how the pitching rotation lines up and all this different stuff, and that's supposed to be a benefit? That's supposed to be the best team in baseball gets this benefit? These are just some things that come off the top of my head. The first time I read through the proposal, I haven't even had time to think about this. I just read it like an hour ago, and I just am so... That's frustrating, man.
He should have a drink. I mean, what's his problem, really? I mean, what's wrong with having 6 days off?
You could breaks his routine.
You could get your rotation all lined up. You could have some injury. I mean, it's just, there's some benefits to it too. I think he's missing out on.
He sounded kind of soft there. It's like, oh, I need everything perfect for me and the routine.
Creatures of routine.
Are pitchers the kickers of baseball?
They need everything right. Yeah, they're very routine driven. Buster Olney talking about this as well, giving his thought on this, how it helps smaller market teams.
Imagine if you're a fan of the San Diego Padres. They haven't made the playoffs since 2006. They haven't had a 500 record in about a decade. They're getting better, but they're in the same division as this financial superpower, the Dodgers, that has won the division seven straight years. They're more playoff spots than a team like the Padres. Their players, their fans, they have more hope. I think this would represent hope, especially for small market teams.
I always, when they add to the playoffs, I always feel like they're diluting it and it's not as special and everything. But I looked, you know, from last year anyway, the next closest teams would have been Cleveland in the American League, 93-69, Boston, 84-78.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
By the way, there would have been a few years the Mariners made the playoffs if this were the scenario. So we wouldn't be talking about the longest postseason drought in North American sports.
Right.
Whatever record it is they hold right now.
On the National League, it would be the Mets, 86-76, and the D-backs, 85-17. That was last year anyway. So, I don't know. I mean, it's people like playoff baseball, and you know whether the routine gets screwed up or whatever.
I'd like to see if he's in the majority on that, or if he's on an island.
Because
you're playing 162 games. I'm guessing there are a lot of guys on that roster that would be going, man, it'd be nice to have a little bit of a break here going into the postseason and be as fresh as possible after 162 games. I can't imagine he's in the majority. Maybe he is, and that'll stomp it out. I mean, this isn't set in stone. These are ideas that are being floated out there.
Yeah, even if you have issues with this, and the thing is, I'm glad baseball's trying something because I saw the attendance figures in the last 10 years. They keep creeping down
every year.
Yep. And they need to do something to appeal to a younger audience. And if this helps, then why not? And they can tweak it and fine tune it. And maybe
I don't know
make
if I like the
better.
Picking your team part. I don't like that. That feels hokey to me.
It does a little bit, but maybe that maybe younger people would like that. Maybe older people would. I just am glad that baseball is trying something different because. Boy, it can be boring to a lot of people.
Well, and they need to do something to distract everybody away from the whole controversy that they have going on right now.
Oh, this is perfect timing for this to be out there, and they're probably happy Bauer's spouting off an outrage. It's creating conversation.
Yeah, so. Rob Manfred's probably going,
hate me more. Post more stuff on social media. All right, coming up next, one of my all-time favorite segments on this show. It is What We Learned, and it's coming up next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
I think most of our learning took place before we came on the air for this segment here.
Yeah, we got to learn to save it for the show.
I don't know if that was show material or not, but it was very, very educational.
We would get lots of texts.
Yes, we would.
Based on the conversation we just had.
Some fiery texts, indeed. What else did we learn besides the conversation we were just having?
We learned that El Hombre might need to put in some practice time with the hang-up.
Hey, before we let you go, we have to take issue with the way you exited the show last week. There seemed to be a...
I know, it was a fumble. It was a bad one. I'm sorry. I have to do a better job. I know. I feel bad. I let you down. But look, it's I'm about 20 for 21. That's pretty good.
Okay. I want a swish from you this time.
Michael, right. We'll do it again. Again, follow him on Twitter, at Daily Hombre. We'll talk to you next week, Michael.
So long, suckers.
Oh! You could hear him.
He's throwing again. He's 0 for 2.
That was so good. He texted me immediately. I blew it.
Yeah. What do you think he yelled out there?
A curse word. Yeah. And somebody texted in saying we gave him the yips. I hope that we should be proud of ourselves.
Yeah, I think it's in his head now.
Yeah, he'll be thinking about it next week.
Makes me like him more.
I know. We'll play that one for him, too.
Yeah, he's choking.
He's like Steve Sachs.
Poor Tim's not getting his favorite part of his day.
Yeah.
Isn't this more enjoyable, though?
He's clutching up.
Much more.
What's the matter with
him? He can't throw the ball to first base anymore. Move him to the outfield.
Yeah, you got Steve Sachs.
I wonder what... we got to get a picture of that phone. Because every time I try to picture it, is it one of the old ones with the...
I do the same thing.
Yeah, or is it one of those sleek 70s ones?
Trim lines?
Does it have a rotary dial on it?
Right.
Or the Princess phone. Do you remember the Princess phone?
No.
Yeah, it was just a little one that sat on the table and just, I don't know why they called it a Princess phone.
Pick it up and it...
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to get... Have them put it on Twitter.
Take a picture
of
it. Put it
on the tweeter.
It'd be funny if it was like all chipped up and scratched and everything from all the hang-ups.
Yeah.
What else did we learn?
We learned that Jim is really impressed with, what did we decide his name was? Philip Nelson?
Oh, the Instagram model?
Yes.
I saw the broadcast where they were showing some of his pictures and they would look like pro shots. And he had really long hair at one point, sort of Fabio-ish, you know, sort of long,
yeah,
flowing
locks. I saw his model photos. Did you take a look? He's got the six pack going on. He's got.
Yeah, he was shirtless.
Jim's impressed.
He had the really long hair.
He looks good. He looks really good. He does.
Did you? You must have found some of the other pictures. We could only find the ones where he's wearing a football jersey and he still had semi-long hair. But
Jim is one of his followers on Instagram.
All you have to do is just Google his name and they'll come
up. We did, didn't we, Maura? We saw it.
You
just
couldn't
football.
Find him?
Apparently we were typing in the wrong last
you
name.
Guys were
I don't
looking
know.
For Philip Jones, and it was actually Philip
well,
Nelson.
They've had some pictures of the actual guy, because then yeah, I found his modeling pictures later. Maybe we were looking at the right name at the time, but I definitely wrote down the wrong name for you. Sorry.
Am I right or wrong? He's a good guy, right?
Yeah, he kind of looks like the Aquaman
no.
guy.
He's a little too pretty for
is
me.
Is he real
okay,
good?
Okay, but a pretty boy.
Yeah.
So there'd be some women that would just think he was outstanding.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And some guys.
So, yeah, you're not a pretty boy girl.
I'm not a pretty boy girl, no.
Okay, thankfully,
boy girl.
Thankfully, neither is my wife, so that worked out okay.
Not a pretty boy girl.
Me and Shannon.
Yeah.
What else did we learn?
We learned, well, maybe we didn't learn, we debated the best popsicle flavor.
I've been picking up popsicle, or what are they called?
Sticks, the wrappers?
The wrappers for the last 15 years.
Is that because you threw away all the orange ones out immediately? Nobody likes orange.
You don't like the orange ones?
No, nobody liked the orange popsicles.
Yeah. How about the banana ones? I like those banana ones.
That has awful taste.
Yeah, that's
really?
Not good.
Oh, I like the
anything
banana,
banana.
Those weren't part of the standard pack, were they? Banana? Wasn't it like grape and orange and cherry?
Grape's
and
the best, obviously.
How about the red, white, and blue ones?
No.
You ever have those?
Yeah.
White,
are you telling me grape is not the best?
Yes, I'm telling you grape is not the best.
What's the best,
Maura? That is false. That is wrong. It's the only time I've gotten crosswise with Maura.
Yeah.
It really bothers
me. Too.
Yeah. How can you not like grape?
Anything grape-flavored always reminds me of Robitussin.
You know what was lost in all of that is Dave forgot the word wrapper. What are those things?
No, I was trying to come up with Otter Pop.
Oh,
You're
like, I'm finding those things. What are
those
they called?
Otter Rapper sleeves. Yeah. Well, that could happen. There's been times I've forgotten names, but no, the kids would have those Otter Pops and just eat those probably 10 of them a day.
Okay.
You know, and the neighbor kids would come over, and those things are everywhere. But
see, that makes more sense when you said, yeah, you buy the box of 200. I was thinking of the traditional popsicles. I'm like, man, that is a big box.
Too. Big box.
Yeah.
You got the push-up pops, too. You remember those where you pushed them up through the paper?
I think they were called push-ups.
Yeah. I think they were.
Yeah.
Good call.
I remember there being Flintstone-themed ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, that's the biggest reaction you get ever on the text toy.
Oh, yeah. We had 1,000 votes within the first hour, and the poll question's still up there for you, so we'll see what the total is tomorrow when we come in. But it's still up there for you on Twitter.
It's very important.
At Bob Stelton, at Bob David Moore on Twitter. You can cast your vote. And I think at last check, cherry was winning.
Yeah.
Makes you happy.
Of course it is. Dave.
It tastes like medicine.
So that's does grape.
See, I don't remember any grape medicine.
I don't either. I remember cherry medicine.
I remember cherry medicine.
Oh, my cough medicine was always grape.
Was it?
Was it?
Yeah.
Huh. Luden's cough drops, they were cherry.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I thought those were candy. I used to eat too much of them.
I think they really were candy.
Maura was
they
never all hopped sore up throat. On cough drops.
Yeah.
I'm all hopped up on Luden's.
In Sister Magdalene's class, like, my stomach kind of hurts because I ate this entire box of Luden's cough drops.
I ate all these candies. No, that's not candy. Did we learn anything else?
I think that's all the learning we have time for.
We're
going to touch on Michael Bennett's tweet to Brock. But
that's
a progressing story. We'll keep learning.
Yeah, that one will continue to develop. So we'll stay up to speed on that one. Meanwhile, thanks to our guests today, John Clayton and El Hombre, Michael Bradley, for joining us on the program. If you missed anything, head to 710sports.com and click that podcast button. Then just click on our picture, and it's right there waiting for you every day. We're back tomorrow right here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
We're probably going to get a ham sandwich or maybe some boot down or something.